Managing your home finances can feel pretty lonely, like when you look at your bank account and wonder where your paycheck went, or when the gap between your income and expenses just keeps shrinking. You might feel like you're the only one dealing with that. I'm Carly Hill, and on the Debt-Free Mom podcast, we talk with women and families about confidently managing your money. From saving to budgeting to caring for the things we own, we find practical ways to move from feeling stuck to stable with our money. Join the conversation on the Debt-Free Mom podcast.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it.
Hey y'all, Lauren here. And on this week's episode of That Twin Mama Podcast, we are getting into all things about feeding your little ones in the very beginning. So breastfeeding, pumping, whatever you got going on, if you plan on taking something out of your body to give that to a baby, I got you at any point in time. Or if you know someone that's about to do that, I got you. It's interesting. I've done a couple reels on this topic. And like one thing I don't really like about the whole mom community and internet culture is like, it can be real divisive. Like people be thinking because of their journey in the motherhood that they're like better than others or have the ability to judge someone, like if you had a natural birth or a C-section or an epidural or you breastfed, formula-fed through gentle parent. And like real talk, I don't really be caring what any mom does because it doesn't really affect me. Like, you know what I mean? Like as long as they're not hurting me, my child, or hurting somebody innocent, girl, you do you. And I'm going to support you. You really like what somebody else does will never cause me to be like, I need to tell you this now with my fingers and say, this is bad. And this is why. Like, bye. So this is all to say, I can only speak my truth. And I did breastfeed my twins. I breastfed my son for like, I think a little bit over a year. And that's just, that was honestly just by necessity. Like we were young, like 23. I was like, this is affordable. Okay. This is like, I wasn't even completely aware of all the benefits. Right. And so that was that. And for my twins, I knew I had done it before. So I was like, there's no reason not to. And as long as it serves me and my babies and I'm able to do it physically and mentally, I'm going to keep doing it. But if somebody chooses to supplement formula or to pump exclusively or to only do formula, good for you. Like literally, I will always use my platform to kind of tell my truth and then also just provide information. Like I'm not going to tell you this is the best way to do anything because I can't speak for everybody. I'm not an expert. So this week, I actually bring on an expert, a lactation consultant, registered nurse, also a twin mom, who can actually speak to just the information that is out there. Good information. I feel like nowadays on the internet too, you could be Googling stuff and Google be coming back like, yeah, to you know, make your milk fattier, put some creamer in it. Real talk, that happened when I Googled it. So I'm here to provide you all with just some expert advice if you're thinking about breastfeeding or nursing. Shelly and I, we really cover it all from mental health to if your babies are premature to options that you may have in the hospital to advocate for yourself, just so you're as knowledgeable as you possibly can be going into the experience that is feeding your littles within that first year. So if you're thinking about, if you're pregnant, this is definitely for you. If you just had a baby and you want to start your breastfeeding journey or you're well into it, this is definitely for you. If you have a sister, auntie, anyone that you know that might be going through this soon, this episode is for you. So I hope you all enjoy it. This first part gets into a lot of the logistics of understanding how to embark on the journey for yourself, for your twins. Y'all, you know, I'm talking to my twin moms too. Like I got you on the logistics part. And if you just have a singleton, just what that can look like, prepare yourself and your baby for what it is to breastfeed or pump. Hope y'all enjoy.
Welcome everyone to That Twin Mama Podcast. We are live. Actually, we're not live. We're recording this. But I have a very good friend of mine, Shelly. Hey, Shelly. She is the twin mom to 5-year-old fraternal twin boys. She has a 3-year-old singleton girl. Shelly is a registered nurse and international board certified lactation consultant, has spent 8.5 years working with families and supporting them in their feeding goals. Shout out to also being a twin mom doing this, because I can tell y'all that like expertise without having twins is very, very hard to find. Shelly is the creator of Twin Mom Guide. It's a blog and an Instagram account dedicated to education, encouragement, empowerment, in support of twin moms. Shelly is also the creator of Twin Mom Guide to Breastfeeding Twins, a comprehensive online on-demand twin breastfeeding course that will equip you to breastfeed your twins with confidence and joy. Shelly, what up, girl?
Hi. Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I am so excited. It's so funny because we were just chatting a little bit before we went live, but the one thing, great thing about the internet for all its pros and cons is like you do actually get to connect with other great moms, especially twin moms. And that's how we connected. We just like slid into each other's DMs, I think. We've sent a bunch of voicemails, like voice memos with the kids in the background. And it's just been a very organic conversation. So I'm so glad that you're here today. Welcome. Yeah,
thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. I feel like, it's just super cool to be here and such a like full circle from just finding each other on Instagram.
Exactly. We were like, we're going to make a collab reel. We're going to make a collab reel. And now we're just going to make a freaking podcast. That's what we're doing now. Okay. Let's get into it. So I put this on my story. Shelly did as well. I feel like this is such a hot topic for twin moms, especially expectant twin moms, because one thing for me, when I started my breastfeeding journey with my son, I was like, I knew I was going to breastfeed. I did. It was pretty simple for us, which was great. I knew I was going to do it with the girls. I wasn't that granola where I was like, I am about a lot of things, but I wasn't like, I have to breastfeed for a year at minimum, like no pumping, like no formula. That wasn't me. Like it just wasn't. No shade to anyone that is like that. I was just like, I'm going to try because this makes sense. It's best for my kids. It's more affordable and like see what happens. And I did a little research, but what I realized, and like, if you look at the biggest like podcast or resources or books about breastfeeding, and then they're only talking about singletons, it's not the same. It's not the same. Like a lot of things you could take from it, but like a lot of things like, girl, that ain't gonna work for me. Like what? Like I remember reading one. It's like, if you want to move around, just put them in a carrier and just feed them while you walk. I was like, girl, I have two. I can't just put the, what? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, just feed on demand, which if you did that as a twin mom, I don't know how, but like, there's just so many different things that I feel like as twin parents, is feeding them at the same time, potentially is a little bit more complicated than singletons. Would you agree? Oh,
yes, definitely. And having had, so my twins were my first babies.
Yeah.
So that was all I knew was two babies at once. And then I had my daughter when my twins turned two. They were 26 months. So they had literally just turned two, and I had my daughter, and that was May 2020. So like no further explanation needed about how that was going.
Enough said, say less.
So, but yeah, it's just, it is so different because you are dealing with two babies, like the obvious, and they're two very different babies, even identical twins.
Exactly. And so like just even thinking about to my hospital experience. So like, if I go back, so to prepare for twins, I read a little bit about how to breastfeed. I was like, okay, I'm going to get a nursing pillow. I know I need that because I mean, you could probably do without, but the nursing pillow really, really helped me. So that was the only thing I really brought to the hospital. And then babies were born. I'm not even going to my birth. Y'all can listen to other podcasts about my traumatic birth. But anyways, I'm in the hospital and the lactation consultant comes in and I'm like, okay, yeah. So I brought this pillow and she's like, I don't know what that is. This is like what you do. And I was like, first of all, my milk, I thought was supposed to come in. They're like 2 to 3 days. Your milk should really fully come in. And because my birth was traumatic, I was in the hospital for like 8 days and my milk didn't really come in like I thought it was going to be for twins. So we were practicing, like you want to get your stuff stimulated. So I would practice with one child and then the other, but never tandem. That wasn't even like an option because I feel like in the very beginning, you're just trying to heal and honestly do one at a time, like just to get like used to that even and get them used to latching. Trying to do them both at the same time when they're that little would have been impossible for me. But all I remember is that my lactation consultant, when I was like, okay, well, when I get home and I want to do both, she's like, yeah, I don't know. Like there was just no knowledge. It was just like her goal was to just get them to latch here and figuring out the logistics of managing two, you're on your own piece. Like that was literally kind of how I felt. And then once my milk finally came in, I think 8 days later, it just took a little bit longer. And I remember feeling like, I don't think I'm prepared for what's going to be life when I get home, but I'll guess I'll figure it out. But yeah, that was my hospital experience. So I don't know if that, like as a nurse, as a lactation consultant, like, is that a singular experience for twins, like in the hospital or lactation staff? Like what was yours like? And like, what would you say? Like, is that normal?
So I'll share my personal experience and then I'll go into what I kind of feel is normal, quote unquote.
Quote unquote, right?
So my babies were my first babies. We had a scheduled C-section because they were breech and transverse. Oh, wow. And in, so I'm in Canada and they are, hospital stays are different. So if it's your first C-section, you're out at 48 hours on the dot. And when I say on the dot, it was like on the dot. The hospital's so busy that weekend. My husband was working the time I was supposed to be discharged. And I was like, can I wait another hour so my husband can come pick us up? And I'm not kidding you. They were like, no, you have to leave. We need the room. So my mom had to drive us home from the hospital. My husband,
oh
my
Jesus,
was racing down the street, met us on the porch.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So, yeah.
It's serious. Just, yeah. Okay. Canada, so
it's a whole other thing. So when I asked if I could have the baby skin to skin in the OR, like that meant a lot to me. They were like, no, like I didn't even have the option before I got in. They were like, no, like we just have to. Yeah. And so,
and just like, is skin to skin really important when, like, I mean, it is important for lots of things, but do you think it's also important like for breastfeeding? Like, is that something that if you can do, you do?
Yeah. So as soon as you can do skin to skin, no matter what type of birth you're having, skin to skin as soon as possible. Yeah. So birth is a big deal for both mom and babies. Mm-hmm. And especially for our babies, like when you think about it, especially if, so whether they've labored and had a vaginal birth or a C-section, think about it, like 24 hours ago, they're, you know, curled up, warm, snug in this like floating water bed. And now all of a sudden your limbs can stretch out. You're absolutely freezing. It's bright. There's all these like chaotic noises and sounds. Like that is a lot for somebody. Like, when all you've ever known is this like cozy, warm waterbed, and now all of a sudden you're out in the world freezing.
Right. Exactly.
And it's super bright. So putting the babies on your chest, first of all, they're going to hear your heartbeat, which is the sound that they've heard from the beginning. So that's very like centering for them. They are going to, having them on your chest is going to help regulate their blood sugar, their heart rate, their breathing, their body temperature. And it also will boost your oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone, but it also helps for your milk to come out. So skin to skin is so important, not even just after delivery, but like I encourage the moms I work with in my private practice, like do skin to skin as often as you can for, you know, the weeks and months following birth. Like, it's very soothing, and you could probably see even toddlers when they're upset, they'll come and sometimes lay their head on your chest.
That's my Shiloh. Like, that's my twin bee. We just still like, she's like, and then she's fine. She curls up. It's so true. So true.
So I didn't skin realize to skin so important.
Yeah. I didn't realize it. Like, I mean, I should have realized this. I think I blacked out everything about birth and the newborn stage. But I didn't realize it stimulated your milk coming in like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It can really help with milk production. So again, and like it helps you to bond with your babies. And like you said, your birth was traumatic. Mine was traumatic in a sense as well. It was not what I wanted. And there was some scary things in there, and it helps you to have your babies safe on your chest, and you're just, you know, relaxing, bonding, and taking it all in, you know. And I'm sure you know too, I was so nervous my whole pregnancy that something was bad was going to happen, and to just finally have them on me, it was like such a we did it moment. I have an Instagram post about that, but I just like felt like I exhaled for the first time in 9 months.
Right. And I feel like I just love what you said about like, it's important, like even toddlers will do it. So like for so many twin parents, we don't have this birth that we envision. There's lots of things that can happen. So if you can't do it right away, do it as soon as you can. And it sounds like you weren't able to do it right away. They were like, no. So tell me a little bit more about like, then like, let's go back to your birth and like, how, when did you breastfeed? Like, how did that work then after they were born?
Yeah. So I had a C-section. I lost a lot of blood. My husband he's a big guy. I was telling Lauren before we got on, he's like 6'2". He was a former bodybuilder, wrestler. So he's sitting on this tiny little surgical stool holding these two babies. I couldn't even see their faces. I'm like, turn them. And then because I'm a nurse, I just know too much. I'm looking up at the screen. My blood pressure is dangerously low. I'm like, I'm not even going to go into it. It was just,
knew though too. You have the knowledge of what those things mean. Oh my God.
I asked the anesthesiologist, I'm like, what are you doing about this? And he turned the screen. He's like, you need to focus on your babies.
Mom's chill, like spoken like a true twin mom, like aware of everything.
So everything was fine. We got moved to recovery. So I got skin to skin with my twins. They were probably just about an hour old. So like you'll read and books and whatever, like ideally as soon as possible in that golden hour after birth. Mine didn't happen in the hour after birth. It was a little bit after. And they were both skin to skin. They were a little bit sleepy, which can be normal if you had a C-section or if you had an epidural. Your babies can be a little sleepier. But the nurse in recovery was great. She helped me to get them both latched at the same time.
What?
Yeah. In cool. recovery.
Ah,
yeah.
That she did was, not happen for me. Did she know? Was, like, how did she know?
She was good. She had, yeah. well, I said, she was good, but she looked at them and she was like, oh my goodness, you have identical boys. And my husband and I were like, they're very clearly fraternal from the get-go. And this isn't like a twin glasses thing.
Right.
Anybody who's seen my kids in real life, like they are very different looking.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was a bit concerned. I'm like, oh gosh. But yeah, anyways, one of
those. Yeah.
He helped to get them latched. And I had this very ignorant moment of, oh my gosh, I can tandem breastfeed. We are smooth sailing from here.
Amazing. Look at me. I would feel like that too. Like I can do like, anything.
Yeah. I'm like, we've made it.
And I've arrived.
Let's just say things went downhill quickly from there.
Pretty much. That shit will humble you real quick. Give it a week.
Yeah. So it was, our experience in the hospital. So I had, I was in there for 48 hours. We had a few different nurses, a few different lactation consultants. I should preface this by saying I worked in public health for about 3.5 years at this point. I knew a lot of the hospital staff.
Right.
They knew that I taught prenatal breastfeeding classes and stuff like that. But then they also knew I had twins. So it was kind of like, they're like, do you need help?
Do you need help?
Like, I don't know what you're doing.
We don't know how to approach you. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I need help. I asked one of the nurses for a pump and she put it at my door and walked away. And I'm like, I had a C-section. I can't get up.
Thanks.
And my husband was already at work again. Like
it was just a lot.
Did
you bring anything? Like, did you bring a nursing pillow? Like you said, you got latched at the same time. You probably just propped up some pillows and stuff.
Yeah. I propped up pillows. To be honest, I didn't bring my nursing pillow. I had talked to, one of our lactation consultants at Public Health. And she said, you're there such a short term. Yeah. Like it's better to just use the hospital pillows and blankets because, and then too, I'm a bit of a germaphobe. I'm like, I don't want to bring my pillow there and then have to like come home and wash it when I need it at home.
It's so funny because I was like thinking I had to bring my pillow, but like looking back, like I didn't even use it because no one knew how, like I was just trying to get my milk to come in, do one at a time. So like, that was like on my list of things that you should pack in your hospital bag. But I was like, actually, now that I'm really thinking about it and reflecting, probably not really something.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it, to be honest. If you really, really want to, go for it. But I recommend with all twins to feed them individually first anyways, because you want to make sure each individual baby is latching well and transferring milk well before we start trying to tandem feed. Because if we try to tandem right off the bat, if one baby's not latching well, it can kind of be missed because you're more focusing on feeding them at the same time rather than are they both actually feeding. So
I love that you said that because like I think once you leave the hospital, now you're like trying to get the grip on like all things breastfeeding twins. And I feel like in my mind, I thought I was supposed to tandem feed right away. Mm-hmm. Like I am a twin mom. I made two babies right away. I should be able to do everything at the same time right away. And that was like not the case at all. And it was more like I didn't get mad at myself, but I thought that like, I realized I listened to my intuition. I was like, this isn't right for me yet. Like, I'm going to do one at a time. I don't care what this says in this book. And so I think for like 3 weeks minimum, that's what I was doing. Like one would be placed, then be done. And my husband would pass me the other one or what have you. But like there wasn't tandem feeding right away. Shout out to the moms that did do that. But for me, it sounds like for you, that's not even what you recommend. And I didn't even think about how, if I was really trying to juggle that, especially with my first set of twins, or I would not be worried about, are they even eating? I'm like, okay, just don't fall. Like they're so little at that time. You're like, just trying to position them. Like that's such a great point. Go on. Sorry.
I was going to say most, I've worked with obviously a ton of twin families. I would say most of them are not able to tandem feed off the bat. And the ones who are, their babies are born really close to what we would say term. So like,
okay.
And I find with most twins, unless your babies were born really premature. So if your babies were born, say, in the 36, 37, 38 week window, you still might have some difficulties with latching and milk transfer and the babies being sleepy until they hit that 40 week gestation. So even though they'll say, oh, they're full term for twins, they're still not full term babies, you know?
Ah, I didn't even think about that. Cause yeah, mine were 38 weeks and 2 days. And it took me about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is like around the 40, 41. So that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
My babies were 37 and 6, and it took us, I remember the first time I was able to tandem feed them by myself, get it set up and everything, they were just over 3 weeks old. And by 4 weeks, so they would have been close to the 41, 42 week mark. That's when I was able to consistently tandem feed for most feeds.
Wow.
So I tell twin moms, like, to have that in your mind that, number one, just have the mindset you'll likely be individually nursing it. For some of them, it can take off right away tandem, but for a lot, I would say you're focusing on individual nursing and kind of have that 40, 41, 42 week mark in your head, because that's a lot of the times when things start to click, as long as the babies don't have like oral ties or any other kind of things that could be affecting their feeding. But that's why I think prenatal education is so important. I feel like so many twin moms are just like absolutely blindsided when their babies are born, because it's challenging. I'm not going to lie, once you get through those initial challenges, I feel it becomes very manageable.
100%. And so I want to pause, because for us, like, our babies were both, all four of our babies were born like close to the 36 week mark. But I feel like for so many twin parents, they are born prematurely. Right. Yeah. So what does that mom do who was like, I wanted to do breastfeeding. I wanted to do, you know, skin to skin, and like, they aren't able to. What do you suggest for them if they still have a goal of breastfeeding? Are they still able to? How do they go about that? They're like in the 20s or the early 30 marks.
That's a wonderful question. So yeah, it's still very possible to breastfeed premature babies. It's just going to take them some more time, and you're definitely going to need professional support.
Yeah.
And then the thing with hospitals, just like anywhere, you can have like amazing staff who are so supportive and know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And you can have staff that maybe have a little while to
catch up and get to that. Yeah.
So I think my recommendation is always, if whoever you're working with, whether it's hospital, private practice, if they're not helping you to meet your feeding goals, don't be afraid to get a second opinion. Like, if this is important to you, don't take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm. Snapping all the way for that. You are your own advocate and your child's. Like, you have to be. Like, not everyone that's a professional is going to have your best interests. Mama knows. So anyways, continue.
Yeah. So same principles with, if your babies are in the NICU, you want to do skin to skin as much as you can. And it's so important for premature babies, mm-hmm. because again, we're regulating their heart rate, their breathing, their blood sugars, their temperatures, all these things that our premature babies struggle with more. Breast milk is very important for premature babies. Your body knows that your babies were born early, and your milk will actually have changes in it to support that premature baby.
What? Girl, yes. I didn't even know that. Look at this. I'm learning. I should have more kids. Just kidding. Sorry, Ryan. I'm not having more kids when you listen to this. Ryan's my husband. Wow. That's like fascinating. So yes, all moms, twin moms, especially who are having the premature babies, you're like, just listen to what Shelly just said. And all hope is not lost. You can still breastfeed your babe, to just get educated on it and advocate for yourself, it sounds like.
Yeah. And make sure that you're pumping. You know, they'll say every 3 hours, because that's their NICU feeding schedule. So that's 8 times in 24 hours. But I, again, encourage the twin moms that I'm working with, like, you're trying to make milk for two babies. So I try to have moms when they can, because, you know, your healing is important. Taking care of your babies who are medically fragile is important. But just try to do 2 to 2.5 hours during the day and leave those 3 hours at night until we see what your milk supply is, and until we see that you're getting the volume to meet your feeding goals. And then we can start adjusting a bit from there. But I've seen a lot of moms be given this 3-hour schedule and their body's just not responding, because in actuality, if you were going home with babies, you'd be feeding more times you'd be feeding more often than every 3 hours. Full-term babies feeding at the breast. So,
and I also feel like maybe this is completely not right, but like, I think there's nothing that stimulates your breasts more than like a baby. So if you're like pumping to get it done, I feel like you have to do it a little bit more. Like, you might do however many hours with the baby, but like, a baby's just going to pull more. And so, yeah, I just feel like with pumping, it's just, that's the hardest. Shout out to my moms who pump. Like, it is like not for the weak, but you just kind of like got to stimulate. I don't know. Maybe that's just, is that right?
No. So yeah. So when you're breastfeeding a baby, so there's a few factors at play. So your baby is not only suctioned on the breast, like creating that suction, but there's compression from their tongue while they're nursing. Whereas a pump, you're working just with suction against the flange. So that's why it's so important to have your flange size measured correctly. And again, if it doesn't seem like it's measured correctly in the hospital, because I can tell you of the, I want to say the last 8-10 consults I've done, and the moms had babies in the NICU and they said, oh yeah, I was measured there. They were using sizes that were way too big. These poor moms are struggling with clogged ducts, mastitis. Like,
we changed their flange size. Oh my gosh. Sorry. I didn't even know that you could do that. Okay. Sorry. Continue, Shelly. I'm just learning so much.
You didn't know about the flange size?
No, I just got the one that came in the package. There was other ones?
Yeah. So the ones that come in the packages.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't worry. I did not know this with my first either. Again, I worked in public health, but we didn't do much pumping education because we're in Canada. The maternity leave is much different than the US, but so yeah, most pumps will come with a 24 and a 28 millimeter flange. And I think the average mom is a 15 to a 17.
Wow.
So these pump companies are all owned by men because they're not listening to the lactation consultants who are like, hello, these flanges are far too large.
Oh my gosh. Wow. You learned something new.
Yeah. So yeah, just to wrap up, if you're in the NICU, make sure your flange size is measured correctly. Lots of skin to skin, pumping every 2 to 3 hours. Aim for at least 8 pumps in 24 hours. But if you can do 9 or 10, even better. And I recommend moms in the first 24 to 48 hours do hand expression of their colostrum versus pumping. Because colostrum is available in such small amounts. If you're pumping, it can kind of just get stuck on the flanges and into the pump. And you're not really getting, I should say pump bottle, not pump. Getting stuck there, and it's much more effective to hand express into a little medicine cup and then draw it up with a syringe, and the babies can be fed that way. But then once your milk starts to transition from colostrum to your more transitional milk and the volume starts to increase, then we can start pumping.
Okay. That's so helpful. I forgot that I did the hand expression like that. I just forget everything, but yes, in the very beginning, moms, you might just do, just like she said, hand expression, like dropper. And that's the way to feed. Don't expect to do all the things all at once. Okay. Let's transition from the hospital. Now we're not at the hospital. We're at home and we're trying to really get into this whole breastfeeding like world with our kids. Like, so for me, like I said, didn't tandem feed right away. I think something that was really helpful for me though, too, is that luckily I had my husband, and I was never like up placing them or doing anything all by myself. Like if it was time to feed, I think it also helped for like me not to build up too much resentment. Like there's a little bit that can build up with any time you're having babies. Like the mom just has to do more. But like for every time they had to feed, he was getting up, changing their diapers, bringing them to me. And like getting me water or a sandwich, whatever the heck I needed in the middle of the night. Like it was his job to facilitate that. And I really did appreciate that. He just never missed a nighttime feeding for that. And I'll also say like, and I'm curious, like, I'm just going to tell you like what we did. And I want you to tell me like, I'm just going to tell you what we did.
Yeah.
But for us, like I wanted to get them on the same schedule kind of like, because they were twins. And so if one woke up and was ready to eat, I was waking up the other one too. Like when I started to actually, like once we're getting into tandem feeding, I was like, y'all are going to eat at the same time. This is like the thing we're going to do because I can't be on demand for each of you. Cause I feel like I would never take a break. So we would do that. Twin B would like want more, like more frequently. So I would wake up twin A, and sometimes twin A would like, she would definitely eat, but fall asleep faster or what have you. And then the other thing that was helpful is like, one of my boobs, real talk, my boobs have always been different sizes. That's normal. But like one is really bigger now than the other one because I would forget to switch and they eat differently. So in the beginning, I was just always putting B on one and A on the other. And I was like, and now they're just really like different sizes. I wonder if it's because of that. At some point I had like a system where I had like a blue hair tie and blue was for B, and I would always put whatever side B was on, that blue one was there. Cause you forget everything, especially in those middle of the night feedings, you're sleepless. You think in your mind, like, oh, I'll remember. No,
have a system. You will not, or like who pooped and who peed and like writing all that down. So there's just so much logistics, I think, with facilitating like the management of feeding too. And maybe I'm overthinking it, but I'm curious, like having my husband's help was great, but also having some sort of system to track was helpful. But yeah, what do you think about someone getting the grips in the beginning? What would you say are some tips? What did I just say that's like great, but Lauren, and I'm curious your experience and how you got like a grip of everything.
Okay. So I love everything that you did. And I recommend that to most families.
Great. So, I can say. Okay.
Yeah. So whenever I'm working with a family, I always ask them, what are their goals? And most twin families want their twins on the same schedule, which understandably so. I had mine on the same schedule. I've worked with, I want to say less than a handful who said, no, I just want to do on demand. And they did. And that's what the mom wanted. And they thrived that way. And
good for I think them.
And I think it really comes down to like your goals, right? If you want to feed on demand and it's working for you, then cool. Like, you know, so I should say I kind of fed on demand, but it was like, if one wakes first, then I'm waking the other once we were tandem, unless, this is a little bit, but once they got to about the 3 month mark, my twin A just slept more. And I think cause he was just such a feisty little guy. He wore himself out and he'd sleep more. And my twin B did not. He fed more frequently. He was up more frequently. And I started to notice a pattern with that. So I was like, I let twin A sleep through some of the night feeds cause I knew he wasn't going to get up anyways, but that's more advanced. So let's bring it back. But in the early days, and if you're feeding individually, I would still, whoever wakes first, you feed them first. And then the next baby, they likely are going to be getting up anyways. If they haven't already, because in those early days, that it's average for a breastfed baby to feed 8 to 12 times in 24 hours. And then on days when you're cluster feeding, it can be like 14 feeds in 24 hours or 16 feeds in 24 hours. And that's why, again, I think prenatal education is so important, knowing, going in and having this mindset, because if you go home thinking my twin should be feeding once every 3 hours, and then they're showing signs they're hungry every 2 hours, you start to think, oh my gosh, what am I doing wrong? Is my milk supply low? And it's just, they're growing. They're signaling your body to make more milk. Every time we remove milk from our breasts, whether our baby nurses or we pump, we tell our body to make more milk. So that's why it's very normal for little babies to feed so frequently. They're trying to increase your milk supply. They're growing quickly. So again, it's important to have the mindset to know that it's normal.
I love that you're naming that, because I feel like so many moms, and this is for singleton parents too, it's just like, how do I get my milk up? Is my milk low? Am I doing something wrong? What is wrong with me? What do you say to that? Because that's such a big question and like fear. And I feel like we self-blame when we don't feel like we're producing enough for our kids. And I would also say, is there sometimes you just don't produce enough? Is that, or like, I'm just curious your thoughts.
So there are moms who will not produce enough. Just there could be a ton of reasons, but the most common would be if you have insufficient glandular tissue in your breast. So if if your breasts were vastly different sizes before pregnancy, if one or both breasts didn't have any breast changes at all during pregnancy, like your breasts didn't grow, your nipples didn't grow, your areolas didn't change color, like if nothing happened there. And as you're going through postpartum, if you didn't feel like your milk coming in, like that kind of, that's what they call it, milk coming in, but that, that transition of your breast feeling fuller, we might start to explore, is there, insufficient glandular tissue or milk making tissue? Moms who have thyroid conditions can sometimes have troubles with producing breast milk. Moms who have, polycystic ovarian syndrome, can sometimes have trouble with producing enough. So there can be a bunch of factors. If there is infertility issues, sometimes that can look like, because it's all, again, related to hormones, that you may not have the hormones to, or your hormones might not be at proper levels to produce breast milk. So again, that's why I always bring everything back to prenatal, as much as we can like know about beforehand. So if you, for example, know that you have, you know, thyroid issues or PCOS, or you're not having any breast changes, meet with a lactation consultant, an IBCLC, during your pregnancy so that we have plans in place. Because, you know, I've worked with moms with PCOS. We have a plan in place, and then babies are born and she's got like this abundant milk supply. Like, okay, that didn't end up being an issue for you. or for moms, I should say, if you had previous breastfeeding experience where you had a low supply or your breastfeeding journey was challenging for any reason, and you're now pregnant again and want to breastfeed again, like meet with an IBCLC during your pregnancy, because the more we can have plans in place before the baby or babies are born, just the more peace it brings. It's better to walk into something with a plan than to kind of walk in blind and be so discouraged by the challenges you're facing. So there is low milk supply. That is a thing. But oftentimes when moms come to me and say that they have a low milk supply, they're either producing enough, or there's, you know, they could be changing things up a little bit, like their flange sizing was wrong, or not feeding babies frequently enough because they're trying to put them on a certain feeding schedule that they're just not being fed enough, or so there's things like that. And then I want to say the like downside of social media, moms will come to me and they're like, I don't have a deep freezer filled with milk, like my supply is low. And I'm looking at everything. Their babies are gaining well. Like they're doing fantastic. I'm like, you have enough breast milk. Like you don't need this gigantic freezer filled with milk.
Right. You know? See that all these other moms curate it for a viral reel. Like, you know, the show you. You know what I mean? It's so true. I think that's so helpful. Like a bunch of things that you name. One is understanding what signs actually might be signs of you not producing milk and not just just something in your head. Two, having a plan, because you go through so much when you have a kid, have kids, have twins, that having like, and there's so much you can plan for and some that you really can't, like there's so many surprises. So having something that could maybe like burst your bubble can like really send you down, like, and really make you blame yourself, or just like, if you're having PPA or PPD, postpartum anxiety or depression, just really enhance that if you aren't prepared. So I can't say enough. Like I'm so, if I could do it again, which I'm not, my husband has a vasectomy, but if I were to do it again, I would definitely on my like baby shower registry, put like a lactation consultant, especially like someone like you that knows about it. Cause there's just so many things. I was lucky. Like I was lucky that I was able to do it and get the hang of it, but I wish I knew more going into it. Cause maybe I would have done it for longer. Maybe I wouldn't have been so like upset some days while I was doing it. Just, I wish I was better prepared. Cause even if you think you're doing it great, we'll get into this in a second. There's so many things that can come with breastfeeding that can be very hard, and just understanding and being educated on it is everything. So I just appreciate your context there.
Yeah. I think education's key. And I tell all the moms that I work with, and I share this story in my course, had I not been working full time in breastfeeding for 3.5 years before I had my twins, we would not have had the journey that we did, because the help that I was seeking, like our family doctor, the pediatrician, the lactation consultants in the hospital and the hospital follow-up clinic were all telling me things that were incorrect. And I knew it was incorrect because the only reason I knew was because I had been working in this field for 3.5 years. You know, I had
Give me an example of something that you like they told you that was incorrect and you like kind of knew.
Okay. So I had the lactation consultant at the hospital told me my boys were 4 days old, and she said, you need to give them 70 mils of formula after every breastfeed. I'm like, they're 4 days old. She was like, and I'm like, that's overfeeding. And she was like, no, it's not. And I was like, yes, it is. Like, and I have, I have a reel coming out soon with this, but, each day old your baby is in the first couple weeks, it represents like a different size of fruit. So when your babies are 4 days old, their stomach is like the size of a walnut.
Yeah.
They cannot take in 70 mils. A 70 mil feed would be more appropriate for a baby who's, you know, over a week old going into 2 weeks old, not a 4 day old baby. And she was saying, and I said, I'm nuts, by the way. I'm just going to put this disclaimer out. I had a baby scale at home and I was weighing my boys. I was weighing them every morning because we had trouble already when I was being discharged from the hospital. They said, your babies have lost too much weight. I'm like, no, they didn't. And they were like, they're like, yeah. So what happened was I had a C-section, but I also had, I have low blood pressure to begin with. So before my C-section, they gave me 4 liters of fluid, like 4 big IV bags. And then I had 2 bags in the OR before the babies were born, and then like more afterwards. So my babies were born and they were like puffy. And then they both peed 12 times in the first 24 hours.
Wow.
Because they had all this extra water weight on them. And the nurse was like, they lost 10%. I'm like, no, they didn't. I'm like, normal term infant babies who don't have interventions during their birth do not pee 12 times in 24 hours. I'm like, they had extra water weight. They did not lose 10% of their birth weight. She's like, yes, they did. You have to give them formula. I'm like, okay, like, bye. Like, it was time for me to go home. So I weighed them each morning and I took pictures of them on my scale because I just knew how our local follow-up clinic was and I didn't want to deal with them. So So when I brought my babies back to the hospital, they were like, oh, twin B has lost weight since discharge. I'm like, no, he hasn't. He's gained 3 ounces. And I was like, here's my pictures. And I'm like swiping through on my phone. She was like, well, that's not what our scale says. I'm like, can you assure me that your scale on this floor is calibrated like the scale upstairs is? I'm like, are they even the same model?
Right.
And so she was getting upset with me. And anyway, so like all this stuff, though, that I thought, if I was a mom who did not work in this field, I would be like, oh my gosh, my baby lost this weight.
Okay,
oh my gosh, I have to give him 70 mils.
I did that. Like, I'm just learning this now. I'm like, oh, I'm like kind of having, it's fine. But I like, they told me that my kids lost weight. Like, they need formula. Like, I was like, okay, I did not know. And so I let them do it. I'm just having like a moment. Like, I'm like, wait, I just wish I freaking knew. So are you saying that like, when do, like, if they're just getting colostrum or whatever, like, especially in the hospital wants that if you're in the hospital for a while, they're going to force formula. They just love it. Like, that's fine. People that want to do formula, my babies are fine. Yeah. They took it, but they're going to be like, oh, they need, that's obviously something that they like to do because they did it with me. You said that they did it with you, but do babies not, I just wondering like, when is that actually necessary? Is it ever necessary? And like, what day are they like, okay, they really need to eat some.
So yeah, these are great questions. So, we want to look at, so it's normal for all babies to have a little weight loss after birth.
Yeah.
And then we want to see that they're starting to gain weight from day 3 on and that they're back to birth weight by 2 weeks. So it's normal to have like a 5% loss. And now some hospital guidelines say anything more than 7%, we need to start supplementing. Okay. Other hospitals will say, okay, let's look at what happened during labor. Is it possible these babies were born with a bit of extra fluid on board? Let's look at how they're nursing. Let's look at their pees and poops. And that's the thing with my babies, peas their and pees poops. And poops, yeah. You know, they were pooping great after they had all those gigantic pees the first day, their pees were then normal. So I was like, and they were nursing well. I'm like, there's no indication to be like, there's no indication for this. So, and again, I'm like jumping all over the place.
No, I know. I was like, wait, I have to go back to this part. Cause I was like, I didn't know about this. Anyways, go on.
Yeah. But even with, when you are preparing to have twins, you can talk to your provider about expressing your colostrum before the babies are born. So if you are, you know, if you don't have any, scares with preterm labor, if you're not on bed rest or anything like that, if you're moving up to like a scheduled induction or a C-section date, or you're just waiting for your body to naturally go in labor, usually after 36, 37 weeks with twins, your doctor will say it's okay to start expressing your colostrum. So you can hand express before the babies are born. You can store the syringes in the freezer. So then you have some extra colostrum on hand in case we run into supplementation and you'd prefer to use your own express milk over using formula. And then some hospitals also have donor breast milk available if that's an option that you would prefer. But there is times that supplementation is necessary.
Okay.
And a lot of twin families, you hear about triple feeding where you're nursing the babies at the breast and then you pump and then you feed them either the pumped milk or the formula. That can be common with twins in the beginning because again, they're born early, they're maybe not transferring milk as well. We're trying to get mom's milk supply up to feed two babies.
Yeah.
Like, as you can see with twins, it's just so,
there's so many factors. And like the one thing I think that's a commonality is like, the more you can educate yourself, the more you can talk to someone that knows what they're talking about. So you can advocate for yourself, listen to that mom intuition. Like that's the way you like succeed. Cause I'm even learning stuff. I'm like, I mean, my girls are great. They're perfect. But I'm like, dang, I wish I knew that. Like it just would been, it just make my journey even better. And I want to say one more thing before we move on, because you mentioned it. And something I did do that was very helpful for me was I did pump in tandem feed in the beginning. Once I got the hang of it, that first feed, I was pumping like 10 to 15 minutes after, cause I was trying to build a supply mainly for my husband to take a feed at night. Cause I was dying. Like I was just like, I need to sleep 4 to 6 hours. You're going to take this 2 a.m. one or whatever it is. And that was, or if we want to do something like it was helpful, I just wanted to build a supply. Do you recommend twin moms doing that? That one, like, is that good for them or can it take away from the supply or is it okay to pump in tandem feed?
Oh yeah, it's okay to pump and tandem feed for sure. And again, this is why I always say, like, work with an IBCLC because we can help you with your feeding goals. Like, and again, so many moms in the US have to go back to work so early. So while they're getting the hang of tandem feeding, they're already thinking about, I got to go back to work. I need milk in the freezer for this, you know?
So it's
so important. We just want to be really careful with pumping. I see these blanket statements put out by, you know, people on Instagram or whatever, like, pump for 30 minutes after every feed. Yeah. It's like, you're going to give yourself a massive oversupply. Please don't do that. Like, you know, if breastfeeding your babies is important to you, or pumping for your babies is important to you, like, put some money aside, work with a professional who can help you. I've been sent some like wonky blog posts lately that were written, I guess, by other breastfeeding moms and twin moms. And some of the advice in there, I'm like, we would never, ever, ever tell anybody to do this. So it can be hard when people are sharing these experiences and it's like, that's going to make your life harder. And we just would never say to do that. Don't do that.
Like, yes. Find someone that like you trust, find someone that knows. And then also like, that's the thing about the internet. It's like, you want to really be the best mom you can. You really want to do it the right way. And there's 100 right ways by Joe Schmo, maybe Joanna Schmo or whomever. Like, and it's just like, there's so much noise and it's hard. It's overwhelming. So like educating yourself in a very strict, like intentional way is just so important.
Yeah. And on a quick disclaimer, you can't even trust Google, guys. Google, we've had some, so there's been some policy changes in how we treat, like, say, for example, mastitis with breastfeeding, but the way you rank, quote unquote, on Google or show up in their search engine, there's a bunch of different factors, kind of like the Instagram algorithm, a bunch of factors. So when you type in, what do I do when I have mastitis, all the old information is still number one. So this is things that is just going to like further complicate mastitis rather than treat it. So, and then too, with everyone knows like AI and ChatGPT I wrote in some like things into it just to test it out, like how to increase fat content in breast milk. And it was said legitimately pour milk creamer into your breast milk and combine it and feed it to the baby. Yes. And people are using this, like, you know, these AI things to create content and put it out there. So,
they are. Oh my gosh. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. So I've seen somebody who's using it for like breastfeeding and stuff. And I'm like, no, like even when I typed in like breastfeeding twins, some of the stuff I'm like, we would never tell anybody to do this. So please just, you know, budget, go see a professional, or if you truly can't afford a professional, still reach out to us and we will, like, I help people any way I can. If I don't have the capacity to help for free at the moment, I'm sending them to somebody I trust who can. Like, we will find you good, competent help. Please don't go looking for information everywhere, because half of it right now is just not correct.
It's just, oh my gosh, that's so true. Okay, y'all, that was part one of my conversation with Shelly, the Twin Mom Guide, about breastfeeding, nursing, pumping. I think y'all got some little nuggets, some little like information that you can use or tell a friend to use. I know there's just a lot of information that I wish I had when I had started my breastfeeding journey with my twins, especially. Join us in the coming weeks. We're going to be talking a lot about postpartum mental health and how that can be affected by your breastfeeding or nursing journey. It showed up for Shelly and I in different ways. So I'm excited to get into that episode. And then we answer all the top burning questions that you all submitted for your Q&A. So from products to best pumps, like just all the things that you definitely going to want to know, we will do that in the coming week. So if you like what you listen to, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. 5-star reviews mean so much to me and the team to keep going. And if you want to follow us along on Instagram, it's at That Twin Mama Podcast, where you can find promos for each episode, but also different content related to the topics that we cover each week. In addition, if you're more of a visual person and want to see some of these episodes live, please join us on our YouTube channel at That Twin Mama YouTube channel, and we'll hope to see you there. Till next time, y'all. Peace.